Standing at the boat launch at Powerhouse Park in Port Henry, I'm trying to picture the long history of water transportation that took place here. It would include everything from the birch bark canoes used by Native Americans to the large British warships traveling full sail down this wide part of the lake headed to overtake Benedict Arnold at Fort Ticonderoga. The first ferry service was established here in 1785, 8 years before the first road was built. In the early 1800s, steamboats running from Whitehall to Burlington would stop at Port Henry. Later, the G.R. Sherman Ferry began carrying passengers across the lake to Vermont and back, operating until 1929 when the Crown Point Bridge was completed. After the Champlain Canal opened in 1823, Major James Dalaba and John Dickerson of Troy were among the first to send shipments of iron out of Essex County to market south. Dalaba had served at the West Troy, Watervliet, arsenal following the War of 1812, where he became familiar with the quality of Cheever iron ore. After Dalaba died in 1832, turnover of this property became frequent. One of the longest, most successful owners was the Boston-based Bay State Iron Company, which ran the furnaces between 1867 and 1883. Furnaces were everywhere. Canal boats docking, loading, and heading out with their ore. Imagine, if you will, a hub of industry.
What are you doing here about this hour of the morning? Mr. Desmond?
Captain Horace, is that you? How many years has it been?
Quite a few, I'd say. You were working for your father at Dalaba's. I've been working for the steamers along Lake George, taking the tourists around. It was decent money, but I missed my folks and this view. And now I'm still taking it in, Desmond.
Quite a bustling shoreline, isn't it?
Shipping wharves and blast furnaces. I'm here with the barge, delivering coal. Port Henry! That was the plan when I left. Is the name going to stick?
Yes, it is. We incorporated this year. Captain Dalaba would be proud to have his wife's Uncle Henry's name on such a successful village.
So what are you doing here so early, Desmond?
Well, I am a clerk for Bay State Mining now.
Ah, well then. Congratulations are in order.
Thanks, Horace.
The wharf in 1883 became property of Witherby Sherman, but the operation of this two-furnace facility was uneconomical. Following the Panic of 1893, they fell idle and the furnaces were dismantled in 1896.
And so we meet again after a decade or more, isn't it, Horace?
It certainly has been a long time. I'm afraid I haven't the same spring in my step as when I last saw you, Desmond.
You're helping with the sale and the transition downstate?
Yes. They just couldn't compete. Awful sad. Are you leaving too, Desmond?
Yes. I'm heading to join Mr. Thomas Witherby at an ironworks in Durango, Mexico.
You're headed west. Good for you. I'm set to retire in a village near Troy. The wife and I have got our son setting up house right nearby. He's got a good job at Troy Steel and Iron with Frank Witherby. It's not likely we'll meet again.
Well, you never know. Goodbye, Horace. Enjoy your retirement. No doubt well deserved.
Bye, Desmond. All the best.
In 1907, here at the shoreline, the town and industrialists placed a power plant to accomplish all of the town and industry's needs, right down to the electric lights in the mines. The plant's 165-foot stack once punctuated Port Henry's waterfront. In 1973, 100 pounds of dynamite toppled the smokestack and a wrecking ball leveled its 40-inch thick concrete walls. The shoreline has changed since its early days. Originally, it was much closer, but over time, waste tailings deposited here extended the shoreline. Lakeshore Sands and Powerhouse Park and the municipal campground are the waste product of years of iron production. Today, we think differently of our waterfronts. Back then, industry access to water was crucial for transportation. Today, in contrast, we prefer to use waterfronts for recreation, fishing, sailing, paddling, and boating.